there's one factor everyone agrees on when it comes to the decline of retail malls, it's e-commerce. Detlev Zwick knows all about how online shopping is eroding retail, and he's not that unhappy about it. He's Associate Professor of Marketing at the School of Business at York University. Hello.
Hey, Duncan, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Professor Zwick, do you shop at the mall?
I occasionally shop at the mall, yes, but I have mostly now sort of moved to the online shopping experience, I have to admit.
What was the thinking behind the traditional mall?
The traditional mall was basically based on the notion that location matters. So you build a mall, you draw a drawing radius, you say this mall will attract consumers from, say, 10, 20 miles out, offering a range of product, a wide range of product if it's a big mall. But nonetheless, compared to, of course, online offerings today, we even heard one of your callers already mentioned this, a limited service offering and product offering that you can have in the mall. But nonetheless, that was the idea. You have three, four clothing stores, three, four makeup stores, you have an appliance store, and so on and so forth. So you could go to the mall and get a relatively decent range of offerings.
Why did malls evolve the way they have with anchor department stores like Sears being such an important part of it at one end of the mall?
Yeah, the idea of the large mall is that you would try to cover pretty much all the needs of your average consumer, from appliances to mattresses to apparel to toys and makeup and so on, and including services, haircuts, or those kind of things. So the mall had to have a certain size, and it would have to have anchor stores, big box stores, we call them often, that can cover the wide range of consumer needs.
You talked about how you yourself are starting to do more online shopping, and you know, you're not the only one, obviously. We're seeing stores shutting down. How much of a dent has online made to bricks and mortar shopping?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So when you look at the pure numbers, it's actually not that much of our shopping. It has moved online yet in Canada or the U.S. The numbers are relatively similar. The U.S. is a little bit ahead, but it's about 2% perhaps, that just probably below 2% that now every dollar is spent, of $100, $2 would be spent online. But what matters here is that that number is growing fast, much faster than, in fact, it's growing versus offline shopping, which we see generally in decline. So retailers are responding to it. They're putting their investments into warehousing and distribution centers. They're investing. HBC has just opened up last year, almost fully automated distribution center and fulfillment center in Scarborough, outside Toronto. Metro has now a more or less fully automated distribution center in Montreal. Amazon is building up their capacities with a fulfillment center in Calgary now. It's where the growth is. The growth is in e-commerce. We see decline in the foot traffic in actual brick-and-mortar stores, so that's why you see the transition now increasingly to on e-commerce, even though the absolute numbers are not that great yet.
You mentioned how retailers like Hudson Bay Company are having to change and adapt. What does traditional retail have to do to adapt and compete with online retailers like Amazon?
Right, good question. So I think there's a number of things that retailers, traditional retailers, can think about. Number one is with Amazon and other, on Walmart is also ramping up their e-commerce operations in Canada, and Amazon is of course coming in stronger and stronger every year. Retailers will have to cut prices. This is simply a fact. We had some callers already that mentioned this idea of showrooming. You go into the store, you find what you like, and then you find the cheapest price for the product you want. And often that would be Amazon. Amazon is a company that doesn't want to make money, and so how do you compete with a company like that? It will have to come down to aggressive pricing. You have to match. You can also think about offering more of a human experience. One of your callers, a baby boomer, I think, in the late 50s, said he really enjoyed his time in a store, spending 2-3 hours with the clerk, looking at all the various electronics, sound systems, and so on. So that's something Best Buy, for example, has been doing for the last 2-3 years, trying to really bring this experience to the store and then allow consumers, after this sort of extensive consulting really about their products, then allow consumers to actually often purchase items and have them shipped home. So it's this click and ship model. So you go to the store, but don't let the customer leave without buying, even if the customer wants it shipped at home, offer it. So those are options as well, where I think we see more integrated models. Both channels, offline, the brick and mortar store, and the online channel, have to simply work together better.
One of the things about department stores is that they offered everything. I mean, theoretically everything. I mean, but how important is it to find a niche if you're going to compete in an online sales environment?
Yeah, it's a very good point. So first of all, yes, department stores seem large and seem to offer a lot of options, but you already had callers that called in and say, that's precisely not the case. We always find the same product, or we don't find the sizes we want when we walk into department stores. So you made the effort to actually go. Sometimes you have to take that time out of your day. If you're not a teenager or not a retiree who has the time to really spend in the mall and just go wander around and maybe find the right product, most people don't have the time. So you end up in a store and then actually you find out the assortment is not that great compared to online offerings, where you can find hundreds of pairs of shoes in your size online, but you can maybe find 5 or 6 pairs of shoes in the store. So actually, department stores, compared to the e-commerce offerings that are out there, don't compete well on the range of offerings they can provide. So what we do find, I think, as a retail strategy, it seems to work, are high-quality niche players. Sephora, for example, would be a makeup retailer offering exclusive high-end or mid-range high-end cosmetic products. They don't use any traditional media to have build this retail chain, and it's one of the very few retailers that is thriving. They've just done a really good job using the internet, social media, for example, to get the word out about their products, to get the word out about the quality of their products. So it's high quality, just as one of your callers called in, mentioning the ability now to find quality products online. I don't have to depend on what I can find in the department store. I can go online, or I can go to these specialty stores. They have some stores, but by and large, they do most of their business online already. Sephora would be an example. Small boutiques could be the same. There's a really interesting retailer out of Vancouver who does bespoke men's suits. So clearly, here's a product people would have said, oh, come on, Detlef, you can't sell a made-to-measure suit online. You need to have that face-to-face interaction with the tailor. Turns out this company, Indochino, has created an online experience that replicates this very successfully, and you can now get a made-to-measure suit made. They have showrooms. They have one in Vancouver. They have one in Toronto, I think a couple. They have some in the U.S. So you can go these showrooms, but ultimately it's an online business for products made to measure suits that I think just 4 or 5 years ago everybody would have said that can't be done online. So we see really interesting challenges here, even in product categories that previously I think a lot of people would have said can't be affected by this.
And last question for you, Professor Zwick. You mentioned that Amazon is considering opening bricks and mortar outlets. Is that a sign of hope for malls in the future?
I think the signs of hope aren't that great. I think overall we have seen the peak of the retail spaces, the brick and mortar retail spaces. I think overall we are in structural decline here. We'll see retail spaces overall decline. I think we see jobs overall disappear in retailing. The service person is simply very expensive compared to a person working in a warehouse or in a fulfillment center who can do 100 orders in 2 hours versus a customer service representative who has to spend perhaps 30 minutes with one customer. The economics don't work. I think overall we see a decline in retailing as an industry, just in terms of brick and mortar, not necessarily in the absolute numbers. It'll migrate online, and we see more of this these mixed models, e-commerce and brick and mortar. But as a whole, the industry, the brick and mortar industry, I think, has seen its peak. and I think we'll see a slow but steady decline in the traditional retailing.
Thanks for your analysis.
You're welcome.
Detlef Zwick is Associate Professor of Marketing at the School of Business at York University.